Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and with me as always, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes. Hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. It's good to have some real footy back and ready to get into it with all of y'all.
Yep. Sweet. We'll start off with our group winner. So we've got Tom's team, Tomo's Best, and apparently it was the best because it was our group winner, with a solid score of 2,278. Who did he have, Paddo?
Yeah, really solid team, overall rank of 613. So well done, Tomo. Harry Sheasel in defence, Wangane Miller, Short and Roberts were his primos in defence. Jaden Short, not the best start, but anyway, Noah Anderson was the interesting one in the midfield. I was really high on him, Dano, and if he didn't have that round two bye, I probably would have started him. So it's frustrating to see him pump West Coast with a 136, but that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes. Callahan and Chera turned up for him in that midfield as well, and gone with the Demons duo, I should say, in Petrarca and Oliver, who were both under 100s on the weekend. But the ruck line, Dano, Gawn and De Koning, VC'd De Koning, captained Gawn, and has Archer Day Wicks on the bench as a non-playing rookie. So this could have been a lot bigger score. And also Matty Flynn in the flex position. But the midfield is pretty stock standard as well. Horn Francis, Rankin, McRae, and Smith with, of course, Daniel as well. And Kakko on field. So got a lot of things right. Good job, Tomo. 2,278 is massive for round one.
Yep. Now we'll go on to our own scores and ranks, Paddo. So what did you score and what is your rank and what was the highs and the lows of the round?
So I scored 2,185, Dano. That gave me a 11,174 rank for, well, the round, but also the season, obviously. I VC'd Patrick Cripps, and I was going to take that, but I had a bit of an epiphany and thought that Cherry might do better. I thought it'd be more than 2 points better, but I was technically 2 points better off by doing that. I'm annoyed with myself, though, Dano, because I last minute traded out O'Driscoll and started Pal Pepper, which I am kicking myself about. Obviously, they're not the same position, but through DPP and stuff like that. Essentially, I started Bo Allen in my midfield originally so I could take Cripps as the VC, but ended up changing that last minute. I don't know. I had a really busy weekend and kind of panicked, but anyway, happy with Zorko in particular in defense. 139 is massive. Been interesting. I saw pieces of that game and saw him up forward, which made me very nervous. I know it was a late change, but does make me a bit nervous. But it's fine. Like, he plays West Coast this week, so I'll see the role and he'll still probably score 120 in his sleep against them. And maybe have to reassess that one. Nick Martin was a disappointing one for me in that back line, even though he played forward. 74 is not going to cut the mustard. So hoping he bounces back this weekend against the Crows at the G. Paddy Cripps, 120 on a heavy tag and in a heartbreaking loss. sucks for Carlton fans, but I was happy. I was honestly expecting 140 plus from Cripps. So I'm obviously happy with the 120, but I was hoping for more. Callahan was a great last minute change, Dano. I literally made that while we were recording the podcast last week and stuck with it. So I was happy with that. Will Day got another heavy tag for a 70-odd. And I feel like he might have George Hewitt this Thursday night too, Dano. So not the best start for Will Day owners, but he's going to score more than Callahan will this week. So it's jokes on me at the moment. I had Ashcroft on my bench, which was frustrating because I missed the news that he actually started the full game and scored 84. Would have had him on field if I had have known that. But again, I was busy, so I didn't catch the news until the game had already started. What else? So very happy with my ruck duo, Cherry and De Koning. De Koning is unbelievable value. For the short term, I will end up flicking him on to another ruckman, but I will enjoy his 130 plus scores until then. And the forward line, Dano, and we'll go into this a little bit more. Very happy with Rankin McRae Smith. 147 from Baylor Smith was pretty special. I didn't see the game. I don't like watching Geelong, especially when they're good, because fuck them. But very happy with Baylor Smith's 147. Caleb Daniel, I'm not too stressed about. 81 is fine. I wouldn't be shocked if that's his lowest score for the whole year, Dano. And Horn Francis as well. I don't know if this is going to come up later on, but I am baffled that people are trading this guy out. He got tagged. And he plays Richmond this week. And I know we are undefeated this year, but he will score 100 in his sleep on the weekend. He may have Alex Caruso tagging him on the weekend, but he'll still get 100. Like, he's fine. So I'm not sure why he's appearing on the most traded out lists. He's my in my team, he's the second most traded out behind Finn O'Sullivan, which I kind of get, but even he, I think, is a hold. And then Finn Callahan. You knew he had a buy in round two. I don't know why you started him if you're going to trade him out in round one and he's got a negative break even at 404. Anyway, some people are stupid, but anyway, I've rambled on. How did your team go, Dana?
Mine actually underperformed, but after looking at it, I'm only 262 points off of first. So, and my team's going to kick into gear over these early buys because I've got no early buy primos or mid prices. So, I'll go on to mine. So, my defense held up pretty bloody good. I had Harry Sheezel's 106, Jordan Clark's 107, Tom Stewart's 100, Joel Frazier had 109. He actually top scored in my defense. Jack Sinclair kind of let me down but came back late with a 95. And then just the three rookies in defense. Lockie Neal was the biggest letdown for me. So the only way's up with him, like, he'll probably improve his point score by 70 or 80 points this week.
He's going to be fucking cheap though, Dano.
Doesn't matter if it's only one round in the rolling average. If he spuds a second time, then yeah, he'll be fucking cheap. But you pick him for a reason, so you got to stick with him. Andy Brayshaw, 101. Clayton Oliver, 93. Then my midfield rookie brigade, the five on field, came into play, Paddo, with O'Driscoll, 91. Nevitt, 82. Sam Lawler, 74. So I was happy watching him play, Paddo. I felt like he got a bit.
As was I. Arousal levels were high on Thursday night, Dano.
I thought he was going to at least clear 85, 90, at least.
I heard they've already started building the statue next to number four out front of Punt Road.
Finn O'Sullivan, 51, but his role was there. And to be honest, I don't think they're going to be ultra competitive like most weeks like they were against the Doggies. So I'm expecting a lot more run and carry. Elijah Sardos is a bit of a letdown with that 50. Won't surprise me if they give him another round and he spuds and then they drop him, essentially. Maxi Hall on the bench, so that wasn't too bad. Max Gawn, my captain, I thought he was going to get way more after being at the game and watching him just fucking slap it to hitouts to advantage galore. Got a 129, so my captain. Tom De Koning, 149. Forward line, Jason Horney Francis, Isaac Rankin did good, Jack McRae did good, Riley Sanders did not pass the eye test. I'm fucking him off this week and bringing in Bailey Smith because I didn't have him. So there's an improvement on about another 80 points, Paddo. probably won't be 80 points this week, but anyway. Caleb Daniel there. Davidson was on the bench, and I'm glad I benched that prick because he got an 39. And Levi Ashcroft at flex at 84. So, like I said, my rank is 30,688 with a 2127, but I'm only 262 behind the leader. And I got no buy round, early buy round primos or mid prices. So, I reckon I'll start making my move this week, especially with Bailey Smith coming in.
So you didn't start Callahan?
No. I wanted to see how he went with Tom Green in the team.
And did you see enough?
Oh, fuck yeah. He should have scored more. His first quarter was disgustingly bad. Like, it was like every time Finn got the ball, we're like, oh, yeah, he's going to lace out someone, and he just butchered it. And then the second, third, and fourth quarter, he came alive. So the only way is up for Finn, and his floor looks like a 100. So, look, there. I'm thinking about it. It all depends. I don't like trading out primos, but if Jack Sinclair does spot up, I might have to trade him out. Or if I never thought I'd say this, if Lachie Neal spuds up, I'm not afraid of trading him out and getting in Finn and pocketing the 200k. Honestly, I don't like doing that, but I feel like Finn Callahan after his bye is just going to be the player that everyone needs. And he's going to be up there this year unless something bad happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, because we've got a lot to cover, injuries and suspensions, Paddo. So we got to start with Rowan Marshall. What happened there?
Didn't watch this game, but heard there's a bit of a knee issue and he had ice on it by the end of the game. Because they were getting flogged, it may have been a precaution, but it may have been an aggravation. I know he did have some niggles in preseason because it's Rowan Marshall. Of course he did. So keep your eye out for news on that. Harry Boyd was the number one ruck anyway, even before that. So that's an interesting situation coming up there, Dano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next one we got, and also called it. Next one is Tom Lynch, your favorite, Paddo. The most durable player in the competition, suspension 1 week.
Well, maybe he was due for rest anyway because he actually got through the game, but he's going to miss a week. I didn't think it'd be by suspension this early, but he's here to cash in his $1.6 million or whatever it is and then fuck off next year. So I am not shocked that he's already missing games. I thought it'd be by injury, but it is by suspension. This is why you don't start him.
Yeah. Teammate Jacob Blight, what's going on there? Got a corky?
Yeah, got a corky. They're still unsure. Obviously, that's still a bit sore from Thursday, but we should hopefully know more in the next few days. He was a POD, but I know people did start him. So keep an eye out for them. But it's best 18 this week anyway, so it's fine if he misses this week if you started him.
Yep. Jordan Ridley got diddled with the concussion or nose or whatever the fuck it ended up being. So he's going to miss at least 1 week. And Paddo really wanted to note down. What did you want to note?
This is why you don't start Jordan Ridley, as I learnt last year. Or was it the year before? Whenever it was.
And you know what? Peter from Nerds for Life Supercoach, shout out Peter, straight away messaged me saying, fuck, this is why I didn't start Jordan Ridley. I was like, yeah, fair enough.
Did he start him?
No, I was saying he's a potential one that could perform really well this year and he just gets fucking concussed straight away.
But I said the same thing with Jaden Short. Like, they will score well. They'll have big games, but they're just too unreliable in terms of their conditioning. Like, they just get injured all the time. You don't want to put yourself through it.
Yeah. Now, Morrison Lohmann, what's going on there?
I feel like one did an ACL and the other one did something else. I can't remember exactly, but the idea is that it should mean Ashcroft is safe and in the team, you would think.
The other one, I just want to touch on, is Starcevic as well. There's potential rumours that he could end up retiring from concussion.
Yeah, really, really sad for him. I think it's his third in the last month or so. I could be wrong on that, but really concerning for Starcevic. Really, really good player. Pretty underrated performer as well. So really sad if he is medically retired, but health has to come first and we hope that he is okay. But there wasn't much in it and he was pretty fucked afterwards. So not good.
Yep. Fair. No, we'll go into the rookie chat, Paddo, because you know I love me a rookie. Hence why I'm starting 5 on field in midfield. So we're going to go through some must-haves and who to wait on, that sort of thing. Now, after you've done this sheet, I've already cooled off on our first guy a bit. So I put him down as a must-have, but I feel like we should probably say we can't really wait on him. It's Ned Long at 200K. He's got a 72 average, 0.7% owned, minus 31 break-even. I feel like it's even minus 50-odd. Oh, no, it is minus 31. Anyway, he gets a price rise this week, and look, when he came on in his first game as sub, I think he got 30 and under a quarter or something like that, and he looked good. So then he started the next game, which was this round kept just gone, and cracks over 110. Was it 116 or something like that, Paddo? So
113.
There you go. So yeah, he's looking good at 200K. A little bit pricey. You might have to shift a few things around. And after thinking about it, there's other guys that are cheaper that could actually pop off as well and make you the same amount of money. So our mate Scobie, he's calculated that if Ned Long gets 100 this week, which potentially could, potentially might not, he is going to go up 59K approximately if he gets 100.
But here's the thing, that could be his only price rise.
And basically, yeah, we want rookies that'll go up 100, 150K plus. So we've got Jordan DeGoey back this week. Pendles, he played as sub, did he? Or what the fuck went on there?
Yeah, he was the sub.
Yeah, so look, it worked for this week, but there's going to be big question marks around him. Now, Scobie likes him, but at the same time, big question marks around him. And look, if you got balls of steel, big-ass gonads and want to shift around your team, go for it. But, like, honestly, I'm usually one to hold off trading in after the first round. I'm breaking my rule this year because I feel like Bailey Smith is a must-have and I'd rather get him now than have to worry about it later. But Ned Long, I feel like, is one that you could fade. And, sure, he could make fast money, no problems. But I feel like there's some others that you could wait another week on to see, who we will mention, that would actually be better value and make you more money.
Yeah, agreed. And it'll suck seeing him raise 40 to 50K this week. But he could either be the sub or even dropped in 2 weeks. And you don't want to be that 250K stuck on your bench because it's hard because he hasn't made the money. He's got a low break even, but he's not playing. So
I think there's other guys
that we can prioritize here. That's why we put him at the top so we can sort of highlight that.
Yep, cool. Next one, we got Nathan O'Driscoll, 198K, 91. He got 30% owned. Look, he's been talked up all preseason. And they got thumped and he got a 91. That says a lot.
Yeah, and had CBAs as well, which we flagged last week. So I think this is a correctional trade. I know they've got some guys to come back in. Hayden Young's still a few weeks away, and they've got Nat Fyfe as well. Who knows whether Nat Fyfe just becomes the permanent sub. Imagine having him come on at three-quarter time every week, Dana. Pretty crazy. But I feel like O'Driscoll's still safe because he's got that wing role, which he's really good at. So even in that role, he's shown a 70 to 80 sort of scoring potential anyway, and he'll still make heaps of money. So I feel like O'Driscoll is pretty close to must have.
Yeah. Move on. So we got Xavier Lindsay from Melbourne here, 158K, 86. He got 3% owned. It was a fucking... Look, to be honest, actually, even... It wasn't wet for super long. I think it was wet for about a quarter in duration in the end, like when it was like pissing down. I was at the game. I should know. He's one that you could, like, obviously you can wait a week on and just see how he goes as well. Yeah, he's got North Melbourne this week. Could go good, could go shit. Might be sub. Who the fuck knows? But anyway, he's one to keep an eye on. Obviously, a bit 42K cheaper than Ned Long and had an 86 in there. So we can, get another week's worth of data, see how he goes. And this is why we like to wait a week, Pato.
Yeah, no, 100%. I need to preface this by saying that we should be waiting a week on our rookies anyway, unless it's Sam Palpepper or someone that's going to get dropped. I think we should be getting another week's data. I always felt like with them naming five debutants and two of them were first-round picks in Lindsay and Langford, I always felt like one of those guys were going to pop off. We just didn't know the role well enough. Lindsay played wing. He played half forward. He played half back in preseason. So we kind of needed to see the role. He did play a bit of a wing, but he found the footy. And we see this with Melbourne, that their outside guys do get the footy because they're inside mids and they've got Max Gawn, who does those really long taps to the outside guys. So Lindsay looks really good. Get another week's data. If he gets 70 to 80 odd, again, I think we need to bring him in. But I could be bringing him in this week, Dano, to get that North Melbourne game.
Yep, fair. Levi Ashcroft, the next one, 185K, got an 84 in 63% of teams. I'm actually surprised a lot of people jumped off, to be honest. You're always going to expect a late out in some game, and I was banking on it, and it paid off. So I feel like he did enough to not get the sub vest the next game, but who the fuck knows in a... Like, he's playing for a premiership-winning side. So, Levi Ashcroft, a must-have for me.
Yeah, I wasn't concerned with the sub news. I just had him on my bench as a result, and again, I missed the news that he wasn't the sub, so that was annoying, missing the 84. But even if he was sub for this week, next week, like, he was always going to make his way onto the full squad. And he's probably already done that with a few of the injuries that they've had, sadly. But Levi Ashcroft should benefit. And he has a nice, juicy game against West Coast where he should be able to turn up for the first time in his career. First of many, I might add.
Yep. And then our last one of the must-haves, Mitch Nevitt, 149K, 82 in 45% of teams. We told you guys to get him in. Nev Daddy it's Nev Daddy season, Pato. It's Nev Daddy season, and we are here. Year for it.
Yeah, not sure why you didn't start him if you don't have him.
Yeah. And we've got some other ones to mention. So we've got Sam Lawler around the 200K range. Fucking jizzed when he was playing. And then I looked at Supercoach. I was like, what the fuck, champion data?
Yeah, felt like he was robbed a bit, but he's a real high-impact player. Only had two CBAs, which there's a bit of improvement there. He did miss a couple of weeks with that concussion that he, I don't know how old mate didn't get a suspension from that, but anyway.
It wasn't concussion. He fractured his jaw.
And it was concussion as well.
Yeah, I know, but he still fractured his fucking jaw.
Yeah, so he's played with a still fractured jaw. So there's room for improvement there. His CBAs will go up as well. So... yeah, wait another week, but have him on your radar.
Yeah, we'll rattle off some other names. So Max Hall played solid. Finn O'Sullivan is one. He's just under 200K. The role's there. Like, it's there. It didn't quite pop off the round just gone, but it won't surprise me if he cracks 100 in the next couple of weeks.
The Dogs are also a pretty hard team to score against as well, so don't look too much into the 51.
Yeah. Lockie Keefe, we said, dependent on Briggs. Briggs will probably be back after their bye. We've got Reed.
That wasn't a starter, ladies and gentlemen. That's how many Reed rookies we have.
No, it's just Reed.
I had to put them all together.
Can I just say, fucking Murphy Reed popping off of 4 goals in, 7 minutes or whatever the fuck it was. Like, I expected his score to be much higher.
Yeah, I didn't see it, so I can't really comment. But Murphy Reed's a gun. You had Ethan Reed pop off for 100 as the backup ruck, and I think he kicked 4 goals as well, Dano. Oh, no, 2 goals too. Don't expect that every week. He played West Coast. Relax. They are not good this year, but maybe a cash cow. He's got the bye this week, so don't do it this week, but just keep an eye on that situation.
Yep. Constanti, he was your boy, Pato, in the preseason.
Yeah, everyone kind of called him the steak knives that were thrown in, but it's actually not too bad. One to keep an eye on, only 1.5% owned and 119K as well. So a bit of potential there, but as that sort of small outside sort of half forward guy, give him another week, see how he goes against the Ds. But if he gets another 70 odd, you almost have to bring him in next week.
Yeah, I just want to double check something on him. Hang on. Yeah, he's fucking...
He was in the Parker deal. As a throw-in.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that. I was just trying to see how tall he actually was. Fuck. Yeah, 177. Anyway, Hanson Jr.'s there. Isaac Kakko. I have faded him, and everyone knows the reasons why if they've listened to our previous podcasts. Everyone was so excited when he started this game, and he did not score the greatest.
I mean, 62 is fine. I wouldn't be trading him out. He'd just be a slow burn, and I think there was others that might make money a little bit quicker and be a bit more reliable, so that's why I also faded Kakko. This kid's going to be a special fucking talent, though.
Oh, yeah. Harry Boyd doing that R1 thing at St Kilda. Now, this one, Pato, I just want to say, Aiden Johnson from Melbourne, when he lined up for goal, they put Max Gorn's stats up on the screen. Oh, fuck.
Stop shopping at Tebu, MCG.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that was funny. Cambriali, I don't even know if I said that right. Fucking Campo. Anyway, Angus Hastie. Elijah Hewitt didn't do too bad. The one that killed me, Pato, is I had Riley Bice on field, and then I found out he was sub, and then I traded him to Patton.
Wow, still did better.
I know. In one fucking quarter, he gets like a 50. I was like, fuck me. So yeah, I should have just held strong.
Patton might turn into be a dead rookie, and we might just have to bite the bullet and sideways him to Bice.
And you know what? That fucking sucks because I had Bice before him.
Yeah.
Back your gut in, people. Henderson did all right. Elijah Sardis was pooed, but wait and see.
His minutes were way down, which is concerning.
Yeah. Trainer was good. Jackson Pryor was decent. And Davidson was shit. So, anyway, there's all of our rookies to wait and see. Now, I love how Pato goes, rage trade. Here we go. So, he goes, Ben Patton, if dropped. Now, one of my mates, who I don't even know if he's a mate anymore, actually, to be honest, Pato, because I'm like, oh, yeah, you're listening to our podcast. He's like, yeah, I only listen for Pato. he's going to listen to this now. I'm like, shut up, Dano. He reckons that Cox loves Patton, and that Ollie Florent will be the one that gets dropped before Patton.
Wow. Wow.
Because he can play multiple different positions. I'm still adamant that Patton will get dropped.
Can he play any of them well?
I think it's just versatility.
Interesting.
Yeah, but he's adamant that Patton won't get dropped, and I'm like, nah, fuck, he'll get
maybe
dropped.
Maybe the sub this week.
And look, if he is, it's all good.
at least he's playing.
At least he's playing. Reedy is another one. We said don't fucking start this guy over Boyd. Some people did. Get him to Harry Boyd at some stage. Dan Curtin. What did he even score, Pato?
I think that's 20-odd.
Yeah,
26.
Doesn't surprise me. Does not surprise me.
6% owned, so you need to jump off that ship ASAP, even though they have Essendon this week.
Langford from the Ds was sub. So that 180K, you're kind of like,
14% owned and only had 18.
Yep. Sam Palpepa, Pato.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. And the one that I told everyone not to get, James Leake, who will probably get dropped after his bye.
Yep. That about covers it.
Yep. Sweet. Okay. Well, let's go into the primo mid prices to keep an eye on that you might want to trade in, blah, 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 blah. Especially if you nailed all your rookies. So, in defense, we'll start off with Sam De Koning at 361K. He got 109 in 11% of teams. He is number one ruck. Number one ruck at the moment. The only problem is we don't know when that's going to change because it's one of the Scott brothers fucking coaching Geelong. He's kind of like Bevo, kind of not.
This is a really tough one because he did look $1 million, but this is when people need to remember coaches and they get a reputation for certain things. And Chris Scott is the guy that does late changes and he always fucks with his ruck setup.
Especially when you have Mark Blitzarves in the team.
Yeah, you've got Toby Conway, shit. You've got fucking Reece Stanley.
But in the actual team, if De Koning's going shit, he will immediately just go, Blitzarves, you're up.
Yeah, and with De Koning being a more than serviceable fullback, it'd be a very nervous Thursday evening every week, like checking teams. If you started him, I think that's fine. I probably wouldn't trade him in, even though we're mentioning him in the trade-in options. 361K is very cheap for an R1, especially as a defender, but I just prepare yourself for heartbreak.
Yeah, fair. Anyway, next one, my boy Joel Frazier, 370K, 109 as well, and in 8% of teams. Now, he did a reverse of what I thought he was going to do. So I heard, Pato, that he was training with the midfielders to play a midfield role during this game that's just gone. But I'm like, nah, he's going to score all of his points in the half-back line. So then he starts at half-back, plays pretty poor, moves into the midfield in the second half, and gets most of his score in the midfield. So what I was nervous about ended up being something that saved my ass. Obviously, Bond's back in, I think, 6 weeks or something like that, they reckon. Treloar's probably going to be back in round 3 by the sounds of it. But I'm not too stressed because I still am adamant that his best scoring is going to be off halfback.
Treloar's listed at 4 to 6 weeks, and that was last week, and Bont was listed as 5 to 6, and that's in the official injury list.
Yeah, right. Oh, must have had another setback then, Treloar.
I mean, it's Treloar. Are we shocked?
That's true. So anyway, I just see positives for Joel Frazier. He's a big body. Like, they were talking him up all preseason, saying how he's going to be the most improved at their club. He's going to be a massive breakout contender, and he gets a 109 by shifting positions mid-game. So I don't mind it, but I started him.
My only concern is that he's not a keeper. So is it really worth 2 trades to make, 150K? Maybe. With some nice on-field scoring as well. If you started him, yeah, good on you. I'm just not sure about a trade-in. But these next few could be trade-in options.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, we got Maxi Holmes next. 533K, 125 in 24% of teams. Got 62% CBAs, Pato. They don't have that early buy anymore, so looks good. That was the thing that put me off a little bit, but I went with Tom Stewart myself. There's a fair bit to like there with Maxi Holmes at the moment, but I still think that his floor is going to be bad.
Yeah, it's just a case whether you want all three of Geelong's main midfielders, because Bailey Smith should be in every single team, and Nevitt is the sort of cash cow. So do you really want Holmes as well? He is a defender. He's actually priced really well. If Nick Martin has another poor game and Max Holmes has another good game this week, I could be tempted to make that jump and make some coin off it and kind of play the prices there. But yeah, have another look at him this week.
Yeah. Next one, we got Matt Roberts, 434K, 110 average, 41% owned, 23 break even. He scored in the 90s, just gone, Paddo. His role's there, could be a keeper. I'm not against it. Just got that early buy, that's all.
Yeah, no concerns from me. I think he can absolutely be a D6, so I think he's really good value. The 95 came off just 19 touches, and he had 3 clangers. So, and that was against Brisbane as well, who are pretty fucking good at footy. So I am not concerned about the 95. I can see that as being his floor. And for what you're paying for him, I think that's absolutely fine. He knows where the footy is going to be. They use him as a clearance guy out of defense. He's not getting CBAs because they are mostly going to Blakey, but he's the one that Blakey kicks to. So you're still basically getting a kick out of every kick in anyway.
Oh, just as a yawn. Oh, Jesus Christ. This is podcasting. The last one in defense, Kane Farrell, 445K, got 100 in 0.5% of teams, Pato, so ultra POD territory. Decent roll, lots of kick-ins. Yeah, Dan Houston's gone. We're going to mention that a lot, I reckon, in the first few rounds, Pato. No more Houston. I don't see this bloke as being a top six defender, but it wouldn't surprise me if he became one, because he is pretty good at using the ball.
Yeah, people are sleeping on him a little bit, I think, Dano. He did play Collingwood, who kind of let halfbacks do as they please, but there's some room for improvement there because they lost by 90 points. So
yeah,
just imagine once they improve a little bit more, they should be able to get a bit more usage out of the back half. And Collingwood only kicked 10 behinds as well, so there's a bit of room for improvement there too.
Yeah, yeah. We'll go to the midfield now. Connor Rozee, 529K, 128, he got 23% owned. Like, that teams are opting to tag fucking Jason Horne-Francis over him, and then when Butters is back, it's going to be Butters and Jason Horne-Francis probably over Connor Rozee. So we already knew that he was great value. Doesn't surprise us with that score with Butters being out. So, yeah, if you got him, awesome. If you want to get him in, get him in.
Yeah, I feel like even once Butters back, Butters is back, Rozee will be absolutely fine. The awkward one is Wines and Willem Drew and how that sort of midfield group plays out. But Connor Rozee is a gun. Put the team on his back. 128 on the weekend. Great value as well.
Yeah. Jai Caldwell, 506K, 129. He got 0.3% owned. Look, I can't get around it. If it is his breakout year and he breaks into like the top 8 to 10 mids, good on him, but I just can't see it.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably not a keeper, so that's where it's really awkward at his price. It's more that, like, it's funny that a lot of people didn't see this coming because he did come home really strong last year, except for one or two down games, but he was getting 110 pluses last season, so he's picked right back up where he came from, 36 touches, 11 tackles, which is massive, and 10 clearances. And he had 7 clangers, Dano. So if you fix that up, you know, you're looking at a 140, 150 sort of scoring potential.
He's never
going to
fix that
up.
He's never going to.
Watch him do it this week.
Yeah, yeah. Next one in midfield, Ed Richards, 531K, 119. He got in 1% of teams. I swear to God, the Scodfather was going to start him.
I wonder if he did end up starting him.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, because I know it was either him or Rain Man. One of them was going to start Ed Richards, if not both of them. Anyway, good value. Rolls there. Don't mind it.
Yeah, it's again, he's not a keeper, so that's where it's awkward as a trade-in option. Well, but he's going to score great in the next few weeks.
He could be a keeper.
He could be. He did score well last year once he moved to the midfield.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on to the ruck line. Oh, and we're excluding the ones that have the bye this week. So we know Anderson and Callahan are two that we'd love to talk about.
Next
still
week.
Still filthy that I didn't talk about and didn't get Anderson or Callahan. But anyway. Ruck line, TDK, Tom DeConing, 547K. Got a big 148 in 47% of teams. We knew we was going to do this shit. Let's see how long he does it for with Pitnet out, and hopefully Pitnet does not return.
Yeah, this is a bit of a luxury trade, but I do feel like if you did start like a Darcy Cameron or Tim English or someone like that underperformed, I would jump off and go to DeConing. Honestly, Dano, he'll make money. It wouldn't shock me if he's 650K by the time Pitnet is returning, even if he does. And, yeah, I mean, you're going to hate seeing him score 140 pluses in this ruck role until he's back. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yep.
Depends on how many rookies you nailed, really.
Yeah. Then we got Gorn and Cherry. Need two of the three of Gorn, Cherry, and TDK.
Yeah. There's probably a discussion to be had about Matt Flynn. He did get moved forward late, but it was an absolute drubbing. So they might have just been protecting him a little bit, or they may have just thrown in the white towel and thought, you know what, let's give Archer Reid a go and confirm that he's not an AFL player. So 87 is good for the price point. So if you did start him as a flex, that's probably not a bad thing, honestly. It's probably a pretty good move.
Yeah. Now we'll move on to the forward line, and the one that I faded, Bailey Smith, 389K, got a 147 in 61% of teams. Just make this bloke a priority this week. That's all I can say. This is coming from a bloke that doesn't like trading before round three.
Yeah, I feel like it needs to be a priority. Absolutely. For me, like, I was always starting him regardless of the whole, like, not playing preseason stuff. He has St Kilda at Marvel Stadium this weekend too, Dano. So
yeah, he's VC territory. I don't think
anyone can afford not to prioritize bringing him in this week. I can't envision a world where you've caught like two or three injuries and you can ignore Bailey Smith. So he needs to be a priority this week if you didn't start him.
Yeah, yeah. Jack McRae, 392K, got a 127, 68% of teams. If you didn't start him, if you didn't start either one of Smith or McRae, you got to get them both in somehow.
Yeah, but I mean, McRae's back. He never really went anywhere. What's his face is just a fuckwit. Bevo, couldn't see what he had. He's taken Jack Steele's role, Dano, as that inside mid, which is kind of crazy. So he's still got it. He's still young enough to be good for the next two or three years. Let's just enjoy him this year in a forward role because it's not going to happen next year.
Yeah, pretty much. Isaac Rankin, 521K, got a 128 in 28% of teams. He didn't have as many CBAs as we thought he would, Pardo, but he still performed at a high level.
Yeah, you got to be careful because he only played St Kilda, and he's got Essendon this week and then North Melbourne. So he'll score great for the next few weeks. Just maybe temper expectations because I was honestly thinking he'd get more CBAs than that. Part of it could be trying to protect him and his engine as well and the fact that they were winning so comfortably. So we'll see how that midfield group played out. Adelaide were a big watch for me this weekend. I didn't like watch the game, but just more just the CBAs and stuff. Soligo still had plenty. Rochelle got in there a bit. Dawson obviously had heaps. And then you got Matt Crouch. So, and then Peatling as well, who was kind of underwhelming, I should say. So Matt Crouch seems like the old one out. I'm not an Adelaide fan, but I feel like that's what they should do and have Soligo as that inside guy with Peatling assisting and then Dawson doing everything. And then Rankin can be that fourth string, but I'm no AFL coach.
That you aren't. So we'll move on to Matt Kennedy from the Doggies, former Blue, former Giant, you know the shit. 414K, 115 he got in 1% of teams, got 42% CBAs, Pato. The only problem is he's got some people coming back soon.
Yeah, there's six weeks away, though, so it's an interesting one for the next few weeks if you were to go there. Yeah, flew under a lot of radars, but 115 was obviously really good against North.
Yeah. Now we've got the last two West Coast players. So we've got Jack Graham, 376K. He got him 107 in 1% of teams. Yeah, look, we should have realised that he was going to be a mid-pricer that we should have considered because he is an experienced hard nut midfielder. Not super quick or anything, but hey, look, West Coast need help.
Yeah, I'm surprised you guys didn't talk about him in the forward preseason podcast because he's kind of done this before, not as a proper full season primo, but when he's got those middle CBAs, he's always been really good and he's a tackling machine. And he had 10 tackles on the weekend, 23 touches, and he had 107. Gave away three free kicks as well. So the stat line's really good. Like, he will do the grunt work in that midfield. He doesn't need to be quick because he's going to get it out to your Tim Kellys, who's an outside sort of P-Hart sort of guy, and the other outside players that they have. So we kind of slept on Jack Graham. 376K is really cheap. There's some guys that will pick up forward DPP, so I'm not sure he'll be top six, but I can listen to an argument that he could be top 10, which makes the price really intriguing. The problem is we're probably going to get Sheasel. We could get Chad Warner as a forward, and we could get Nick Martin as well, who I think will have some really big scores because he's a magnet for the footy. So there are some big names that we are probably going to get. We'll see what Chad Petrarca Warner does. Who?
Chad Warner.
I said Chad Warner.
Yeah, sweet.
Stay with the program.
Will do.
And also one from this same game, Dano, who played a bit of forward in Took Miller. He played a bit of half forward.
Jesus.
Yeah, so it's an interesting one. Yeah, if you bring him in, you're probably bringing him in to make some money and score well and just sort of see what happens with DPP changes. He's also got a bit of soft tissue injury history as well. So, yeah.
Actually intrigued to see if Petrarca ends up getting it, but I think we say that every year.
It's always on 34%.
Yeah, needs that one tick over. The last one that Paddo refused to put on, but I was like, no, I really want to talk about him because I talked about him in preseason. That's Liam Baker, 443K. Got 102 in 3% of teams, and all Paddo has written down is Dano thinks he'll be top six. I reckon he could be a top 6 to 8 freaking forward, and I'm banking it in because he's finally playing one role, Paddo. But then after I say this, watch fucking McWalter or whatever the fuck his name is, chuck him in the midfield next week and fuck up everything.
Yeah, I'm telling you, his role will change. He's never been a primo scorer, even when Richmond were good. They also have Bo Allen to come into this team who could play defense while Baker does whatever is needed around the ground, midfield, half forward, forward pocket, wing. Like, he's a guy that can play anywhere except for the ruck because he's tiny. So not for me. I love him as a player. I'm spewing that Richmond let him go. Happy to have got the 8 draft picks that we got. But no, I'm not condoning this.
Well, we're not called the Supercoach Co-Captains for nothing because every week we give you all a VC and C option.
Are we
option
doing
to...
questions?
No, we'll do that after the VC and C. Oh, fuck it. We'll do questions now. We'll do questions. What are the questions, Paddo? You fucked me up.
Apologies.
That's all good. He's been out of it for a while. We're going to save question time till after the VC and C's.
Oh, hang on. Sorry. I've just logged into Twitter for the first time all day and my mentions have blown up and I feel like it might be because of my tweets about Hugo Garcia.
Oh,
I need to find the tweet because I wasn't even the one that brought it up either. I was going to give it a few weeks before I piped up about that. But anyway, here's the Bucks.
I've got him.
Oh, fucking hell. Oh, we'll have fun with that later.
Okay, well, the first one we got from Josh. So Josh says, one, feel free to laugh at this horrible team and rank. And it wasn't even, he's 6 away from 90K. So, okay, 1986, his team name's Rough Pies. Fair enough. So, number two is, any suggestions? I took out Rankin for Garcia, so I had the cash for Baz this week, but fucked my team in the process. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I must say, the team's not that bad. Hugo Garcia's bad and Pal Pepper's bad, but we can change that. We can fix that. That is absolutely fine. You can't predict a Lockie Neal 41 in round one.
I know, trust me.
But you've got Jordan Clark in defense who looks really good.
Jaden Short. He's got to get in Bailey Smith, and unfortunately, he's probably going to have to trade out Hugo Garcia. Shit.
Yeah, 100%. So I think the easy one is getting Garcia to...
Well, what about Pau Pepper, actually?
You've got to go Pau Pepper. So it just depends on how you're going to get the cash, though. That's the problem.
Well, I think he's got the cash. He traded out Rankin after Bailey Smith's awesome game and traded him to Garcia, so he had the cash for Baz.
Yeah, so Garcia to Baz, that's an easy one. And I would correct Pau Pepper as well.
Yeah, or Sam Pau Pepper to Baz and just hope that Garcia has a one-off good game. Here we go. Next one's from United. Fuck me dead. It's another Garcia one. So it's, is this too much to get Baz in for Garcia? Can be done over 2 weeks to avoid using boost. So he's used a boost. Traded out Finn O'Sullivan, Hugo Garcia, and Elijah Sardis for Isaac Kakko, Bailey Smith, and Jack Henderson to come in. Why?
I don't hate that. I'm not opposed to using the boost in round one if it's to correct an obvious error, and not having Bailey Smith is an obvious error. So I'm not opposed to this. Just be prepared for Finn O'Sullivan to come out with an 80 and you'll be spewing.
Yeah.
But that's kind of probably the only way to do it. Although he does have Malera, which I'm guessing is Wayne Malera, listening to you, Dano. So I would probably do Malera instead of O'Sullivan out and just deal with the 3 rookies on field this week because it's best 18, so that's fine.
Yeah, I would be getting out Wayne Malera as well.
You were big on him last week.
No, it wasn't last week. We spoke about him in the Defenders one as an option, but he didn't play any preseason shit. But we discussed him. And I'm pretty sure I did say he has all the potential, but he also has all the potential to do a hammy. So, yeah. But remember, we're a podcast. We discuss all of them. And then we say our opinion. So, yeah, I wasn't actually super hot on him. So, don't put words in my mouth. James Hodge goes, what to do with Flynn?
Hold.
There we go. And then he also says, Perryman, what do we do?
I feel like Perryman's also a hold. Give him at least another week. 46% CBAs is fine. See what happens when, I don't like saying the name, but Tagoe is back.
Can I just say?
And then you can readjust next week. But there is a price change this week, isn't there, with Perryman?
Yeah, correct. So Ned Long had 22 CBAs. Nick Dacos had 21 CBAs. And then Perryman had 13.
His break even 77. So I think that's fine for a 1 week hold and just see this week. But I think Flynn is also a hold.
Yeah, I reckon give him another week. I'm usually the one that says don't give him 3 weeks. I usually say, Pato, and it's usually the third week where they actually strike good.
Well, next week would be the Perryman 3 weeks.
This coming week.
He played last week.
Yeah.
So that's his three games.
Yeah. But I usually say in your team, give him 3 weeks.
39 people have traded Perryman in this week.
Yeah, right. True. We'll go to Facebook now. Facebook questions. How many do you reckon we have, Pato?
I don't know. I can't wait to see what's fucking
popped up. Holy fuck. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Next. Chris Walker-Jones goes, do my mighty co-captains like carrying three primo rucks early this season, one in flex? I think that it would be a good finishing move as the best rucks seem a lock to go 120-plus a week. But I think the cash gen is more important at this stage. Love to hear your thoughts. Well, this is the thing, and I don't think anyone's really spoken about this, Pato, and that is we try and go full primo, but I think because we've got the extra player on the field, full primos actually might be quite hard to do this year, even with the extra trades, because people burn the fuck through them, blah, blah, blah. And I thought about this, and I'm like, you'd want more rookies than mid-prices, especially if the mid-prices don't fire. And, yeah, I actually like the three primo ruck idea, but I think it might be a bit hard to try and fill your team up if you've gone a primo in the flex myself. What are your thoughts?
I don't hate it, and especially because De Koning came up with the pit net injury, and then you had the Briggs injury as well. So we knew Gorn was going to go big this week. So I don't hate it, and it also kind of helps for if there is an injury, you can swing Boyd on field and then be confident that your flex will cover the injury if there is an injury. So I don't hate it. I feel like a lot of people will end up with three rucks on field with the flex position. I just chose to get an extra mid rookie on my field instead, just to get that cash gen happening. But I feel like, I mean, it depends on Pitnet and whether he comes back into the team, but De Koning could be a perfect flex because we know he can go absolutely bonkers.
You know who could also be a perfect flex? Sam De Koning, when he gets defender ruck status.
Yeah, he'll either get 30 or 150, so sure.
But it won't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, flex. Lloydie says, I went against starting Bailey Smith. Me too, mate. Do you now think he's an absolute must-have? I have Liam Baker who turned up. Should I throw that trade in now? No, if you got Liam fucking Baker, you keep Liam fucking Baker, but you got to try and get Bailey Smith somehow.
That's a really difficult one because I wouldn't be trading out Baker, but you need to trade someone out to get to Smith.
Yeah. As I adjust my seat and my microphone, like I said, I would be trying to figure out another way to get Bailey Smith. And look, people are always focused on getting him in the forward line. If there's a way to get him in your mids that doesn't fuck up your forward line, even that's just as good. And then flick him to the forward line later.
Yeah.
So, Lloydie, keep Liam Baker, but trade in Bailey Smith. That's what I would do.
Here we go. It just depends on the rest of his team. That's the problem. Like, he may not have any other issues.
Chuck us a DM, Lloydie. We'll have a look at it. We'll message privately. There we go. Liam Nashoda goes, are Horn, Francis, Rankin, McRae, Smith and Daniel the likely top 5 to 7 forwards this season, in your opinion? I brought Smith in this week and I'm hoping that these guys are keepers for the whole year. I think that's what everyone's expecting, to be honest, with maybe like a Dylan Moore or someone like that popping off in there too. And then we got to wait for those midfielders, or in Sheasel's case, defenders that get forward status.
I don't think they're locks for the top 5 to 7, honestly. Like, there's a world where Butters comes back into the Port Adelaide team and Horn Francis goes back to getting 20 to 30% CBAs and he could fall out of the top 5 to 7. There's a world where, again, Rankin drops his CBAs and goes back to the sort of 85 to 95 scoring. I think McRae, Smith and Daniel are basically locks to be in that top 5 to 7. But it all depends on who gains DPP. And on current trends, Sheasel and Martin should get it, as will Chad Warner, which kind of makes that the makeup of that group fairly interesting to see what happens. Marshall could also get DPP as well. So that could be an interesting one if Boyd misses out for whatever reason.
Yeah, fair. Okay, well, we're going to fuck off Paddo right now because, you know what? He's pissed me off in this podcast. So, all jokes aside, we've had a little bit of a technical glitch, but we've got a special guest in who's just returned back from South Australia, and that's Peter from Nerds for Life Supercoach to help us with our VC and C options. Welcome, Peter.
Hello, thanks for having me back, Dano. This is an interesting way of saying you didn't like Paddo's captain choices, but that's fine. I'll throw in my 2 cents.
Yeah. Well, we had some technical difficulties, but Peter's back here. But just before we go into VCs and Cs, Pete, how was Adelaide? How was the open training sessions?
I posted a couple of photos, and if you have seen them, you'd see the horny one playing with his noodle throughout the session. Anyone that's confused, I'm not elaborating. You could check that out on my photos. He had a fucking pool noodle. He was just whacking everyone with it. It was actually quite funny. But he actually looks fit and good. So hopefully he could bounce back. Didn't see Butters. I don't know where he was, but a lot of the boys were wearing hats and I was actually pretty, do you know what? It was actually kind of cool. I walked in and they let me go into like the gym.
Yeah, nice.
Around with all the boys, and I'm like, this is pretty cool. No one told me off. No one told me to leave. And I'm like, this is fine. And then there was a press conference with Ken Hinckley. I just walked over, just sat and listened.
Yeah, well, you are technically the media,
maybe they just thought I was part of the media. I don't know. It was great. It was great fun. But no, look, I think they're really keen to bounce back, which is not good as a Tigers fan. Honestly, we're going to get to my VC and Cs, and I've got one guy locked in, absolutely locked, lockety locked as my VC from that that club.
Okay, well, we're not called the Supercoach co-captains for nothing, because every week we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest, and this week we've even got a bigger nerd than us with Peter here. So anyway, we'll start off Thursday night, Carlton versus Hawthorn. Honestly, I can only really like Tom DeConey in this one. I'm not even a fan of Will Day. When Paddo was talking, he reckons Hewitt's going to go straight to him and lock him down. So the only other one I can think of, or even Cripps has a shit history against Connor Nash because they're two big bodies. So yeah, mm-hmm. Tom DeConing's the only real one for me.
Tom DeConing, I like. Makes a good ruckman, but far out, sometimes he makes other rucks look great. Like, he made Draper look like an all-Australian ruckman last week. So I do like TDK in this game. Do you know what really shits me, actually, about this game? That Adam Chera might be playing in defense. Apparently, he spent the whole training session today training into my dad was there. So I'm watching Port Adelaide's training. My dad was at Carlton's giving me some notes. He spent the training session. Hey, this is how I get notes, okay? He spent the training session all day with the backs. Moved to more of a defensive role at halftime last week too. Did play a bit of wing in midfield, but it really hampered his scoring. So if Adam Chera is playing as a defender, that's shit. So I wouldn't be touching him. TDK for me.
Yeah. We'll move on to Friday night's game, which is Western Bulldogs versus Collingwood. This is a bit of an interesting one. You know what? If you're I didn't actually think of this at the time, but if you're a Dan Houston owner, he fucking was pretty lit. I wouldn't be ashamed of, or even afraid if I was owning him, putting the VC on him. Dacos. Surely he's going to bounce back.
Honestly.
You don't reckon?
I don't know what it is. He hasn't looked 100%. It looks like sharing a primary role with Crisp. gone. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Don't get me wrong. AFL-wise, it's fine. They had a really big win on the weekend. So that's great, but not great for Supercoach. I am reluctant to put a C or a VC on a guy that has scored below 100 back-to-back for no real apparent reason. And who's come off underdone preseason.
Oh, he did get tagged against Port.
He did get tagged, but he also just looked kind of average in general. He was cramping up. He came off an injury throughout the preseason. I mean, it's just not screaming, pick me as your VC. Honestly, if your only VC option is coming from this game, you probably should start looking towards 2026.
I absolutely hate it if you're an Ed Richards owner, I wouldn't even mind a cheeky VC on an Ed Richards myself as a massive POD VC, but
actually Libba would be a really good, actually I take back everything I said, I apologize. Libba would be a sick VC. He is actually looking okay without the bond there.
Anyone else from this game?
Nah.
Just
Libba for me, if I had Libba.
Fair. Moving on to Saturday. So we got the first one at 1:20 p.m. at MCG. It's Essendon versus Adelaide. You can go safety with Merritt, I guess. Isaac Rankin.
I love that, honestly. I think he scored 128 or 129 for me last week. Really enjoyed watching that, considering most of my other moves shed the bed throughout the weekend. But I really like Isaac Rankin in this game. I haven't really paid attention thus far, but how have halfbacks been scoring against Essendon? Is Rory Laird a sneaky POD VC?
Well, they played Hawthorn in round one.
Mm.
We'll just quickly jump there. I don't think... Oh, Carl Amon, I'm pretty sure scored well.
Yeah, he scored real well from memory. He looked really good. So
28 disposals as well, Carl Amon.
I don't mind Dylan a sneaky Morse. VC.
Yeah, went good. They didn't play opening round, so that's okay. Sneaky VC on Rory Laird. Okay.
Yeah, sneaky. Just a little one. Just like put that there. And then it's a VC. You can take a risk. No one's picking. If you've picked Rory Laird, may as well back him with a VC.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyone else from this game? A Nick Martin bounce back. I don't know about Caldwell. I'm still not sold on him, but he has started the year just like the way he finished it off last year. So
has looked good. If you've got, I don't think his ownership's very high, but if you have gone Caldwell, I don't mind it. I still think that like Rankin is the most obvious one from this game. It's probably the safest one. But yeah, if you've got a Caldwell and you think Essendon's going to win and do well, I'd say that's a good pick.
I'm not even liking Jordan Dawson in it, to be honest.
Nah, too up and down. Yeah. But his ups are pretty big. So you know what? I think it goes down to who you think's going to win and if you think it's going to be a blowout. If you think it's going to be a blowout and Adelaide, you know, they looked good last week and you think they're going to knock Essendon off, I don't mind Dawson. I don't mind Rankin. I don't mind any of those boys. But
we'll go to the actual VC.
Let's be honest. This one's too juicy.
Yeah. Port Adelaide versus Richmond. By the way, Port are bottom of the ladder.
It's fun to watch. It's fun to see.
Yeah. Just stop the season now. So Port, like, honestly, it's got to be Rosie or the horny one.
It's got to be Rosie, doesn't it? I can't see McIntosh trying to tag Rosie. I just don't think. I think Rosie's too quick for him, personally. Honestly,
Mac is just not going to be able to tag anyone very well.
I think that if they do try to tag, his body type is a bit better to restrict someone with the explosiveness of a Horn Francis opposed to Rosie. I could just see Rosie running all over him. He's a good runner, don't get me wrong, but he's also quite large, which is why he did so well against like Patrick Cripps last week. But Cripps still did
that well.
He didn't do that well. He did well early. Like Cripps kind of worked his way into the game. I don't think a McIntosh tag is a big deal, to be honest, anyway. So
no.
I think Rosie's the obvious one. Came off a big game, has a really good preseason. Butters isn't there. He is getting bulk CBAs, and he's the captain, and it's in Adelaide, and Port Adelaide need to win after the embarrassment of last week. So I just see this screaming, captain needs to deliver. And I think that Connor Rosie is the obvious. I can see him going 160, genuinely. Speaking of
captains delivering, Toby Nankervis, I reckon, will absolutely swat up Jordan Sweet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They could play Sweet. They could play Soldo. They could play anyone in the ruck. It does not matter. He is going to go massive. I am shattered I didn't pick Nank at the start. I had him in my team, like, on rotation. But then I went with, like, Max Gawn, thinking that Keith was going to get slaughtered. And, of course, Keith played the game of his career against Max Gawn.
Yeah.
But Nank, if you've got Nank and you don't have Rosie, I agree. Nank would be amazing in this game.
Yeah. Next one, we got St Kilda versus Geelong. I'm just going to rattle this off because we're going to have to wrap this up pretty quickly. So yeah, Jack McRae, I actually really like. Bailey Smith, another one.
Geelong don't tag.
We can actually potentially say Sam De Koning.
We could say Sam De Koning, but at I'd VC. Love to say it. Yeah, I'd still think that you've probably got either someone from Port Adelaide or, you know, most likely, and I think that's the way to go. I still prefer that.
Yeah, okay. Well, no one from Geelong then?
Bailey Saints. Smith looked great, but, you know, a sneaky Jack Sinclair wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, cool. We'll move on to Sunday. The other game where there'll probably be a C option is Brisbane versus Eagles. Lockie Neal bounce back game from an 8-year low.
Dude, have you looked at my team this week or something? Because you've already picked my VC and C before I said them. Is it that obvious? Are my moves that obvious? Fuck.
Yeah. I reckon they're that obvious.
Mate, he is going. If I swear, if Rosie doesn't score at least like 130, I'm probably just gonna fade it and go to Neal because I cannot see him doing what he did last week. This week against West Coast. My God, did you see Gold Coast's midfield? Gold Coast midfield look like a triple premiership team against West Coast. They are shit house. They are barely AFL standard still, again, for like a third year in a row. It's fucked. Like, Richmond's bounced back after one draft haul, and, you know, the rebuild's already there. We're knocking Carlton off. And West Coast, they can't string together three possessions in a row. They shit. Sorry, but they just are.
Josh Dunkley, another option after his massive 172.
I went on a rant, but they just look bad. I think I'd still go Neil. I'd go chocolate.
Yeah, cool. North Melbourne versus Melbourne.
I wouldn't be picking either Scary or Gawn.
I actually don't really like anyone in this game.
Yeah, I don't like anyone. Cherry
and Gawn usually score like 110, 111 against each other. But that's not enough to be your captain.
How's Clary's record against North? I think it's good.
I don't think you could go Clary confidently at the moment.
I mean, you
let
couldn't
him string
go,
some
I mean,
games together.
Still, I want to know. I just want to click on his thing. I just want to see. I know you said quickly, but I just want to see. Okay, apart from a 32 last year in round 15, he went 134 and 178 previously. I don't hate this.
Okay. Okay, we'll keep moving on. Last game, Fremantle versus Sydney at Optus Stadium. Honestly, I don't like anyone in this game either.
Okay, so hear me out.
James Jordan scares me.
I hate him, and he should be banned. But also, I think that he tags Sarong. That's the obvious tag, right? Which means I could see Brayshaw going off the chain, if you're thinking about it.
Did he tag Jordan Clark last time for the first half and then switched to Sarong?
He did from memory. No, Brayshaw, I'm pretty sure, was left alone. I think it was Sarong and Clark from memory. I'm just doing a little clicky on Brayshaw. And, he did score an 85 last time. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was round 9 that I was thinking that he didn't even get a tag. Sarong.
Anyway, do we like anyone from this game?
I'm too scared of James Jordan. Both Sarong and Brayshaw scored an 85 last year in the same game. So I don't know who did well.
Marry a void. There we go. We're going to void.
Just avoid them. If you haven't got your C by that game, just delete the app.
Yep. Okay. Cool. Peter, how can people find you on Twitter, Facebook, all that sort of shit?
I am on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, OnlyFans, TikTok, X, all of them. at Nerds for Life SC. That's the number 4, Nerds for Life SC.
Yep, awesome. And mine is at DANEOSCCC. Paddo's is at PATTOSCCC. And you can also find us on Facebook, Supercoach Co-Captains. So from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Paddo.
And I'm Peter.
And this is us signing
the fuck off.
Yeah, that was a bit different.